Hey, this is Talk with Rollshare. I'm Sophie Smallwood, co-founder of Rollshare.com. So before returning to Facebook after I had my son Leo, I attended a lecture by Columbia University in London about returnship to work. I was super surprised to hear that banking offers the best of breed returnship programs. It's just not what I would have expected. Today, we talked to Vanessa Gilardi, head of HR at Royal Bank of Canada in Europe. Here she is to tell us about transformation, change, and flexibility in the banking environment.
Why banking are so proactive today, maybe in ways that we didn't see before? I think simply the financial crisis 2007-2008 really opens up the conversation about who are we as an organization? How can we attract talent to basically talents that were driving away from banking simply because the influence or the reputation of the industry was not there anymore? And I think for good reasons, to be fair. I think since then, banking itself recouped some of the reputation, but we have to really work hard to be at the forefront of making sure that we propose and offer work that are really meaningful to people. It's not about only getting to work to get a certain pay level. I think we've passed that. We've been there. It doesn't work. It actually brings very bad practice together. So I think it's really about having a more fulfilling life and working life balance that's actually banking that our certain size can offer. And again, world of talents. I think it's definitely the digitalization of work have brought an access for young graduates to really do what they want to pursue. So opening their own business, finding some social communities that with which they can work. And banking itself is not as attractive as before. So we really have to put our games together to attract talents in different ways. The Returners program, or the strategy behind the one that we have done in Royal Bank of Canada, specifically in the UK, is really to see pockets of talents that are driving away from large organizations, generally speaking, because they don't find the balance in their life to do different things that matter to them. And sometimes it's absolutely valid to take that into account. Or they want to focus on different things, either family, taking care of a partner, taking care of parents, or simply going abroad and having other experiences. When they come back to the workplace, there seems to be, and I've experienced that myself when I came back to work after almost 2 years of taking care of my own son, there is this kind of disconnect between, I would say, recruiters, headhunters, and some organizations who think that having taken a break is still a negative impact in your career, when actually we should celebrate that. And I think this is really the kind of focus we have taken at Royal Bank of Canada, is to see that as a very positive point, to add some skill sets that you don't get if you stay in a position for a long period of time and you don't have exposure to other meaningful experience.
Initially, what was it about this concept of shared roles that sort of piqued your interest when you heard about it through me?
I think to start looking at job sharing or role sharing, to start the discussion there, I think there are sometimes intangible, indirect thinking about the risks and difficulties to put the methodology together, because I think we are individual. If we can, we want an easy solution for a very rapid problem. So we're not going to invest a lot of time thinking about different ideas when we know that things that we have done in the past works. And that's human instinct, I think. But I think most of the professionals out there, if we think about it, it's really that kind of idea that needs to be discussed, because we're thinking about long-term longevity, loyalty, happiness at work. And I think it goes along with giving people freedom and flexibility to actually come to work, enjoy what they're doing, sharing practices, but also being able to have the freedom of time to do other things that they actually value outside work. So role sharing and job sharing, or flexibility of working, or any of those themes that are very inclusive and somehow will put people trust first, are very important to talk about, because there are ways of driving engagement and people loyalty back to the organization.
Right. So that's a good point. Of the individuals I've interviewed who are in role share arrangements or in the past shared a role, one, many of them, if not actually all of them, were strategic and or very senior executive roles. And the second point
they're all incredible ambassadors for the companies that actually helped enable that arrangement and supported them and took a chance. And the way many of them approached it was in a pilot sense. So they presented the need, they came up with a plan, and with their role share partner, identified a set of principles, a unified vision, which they then presented to the organization and said, hey, let's test this out. This could be a way to trial a new working model. And many of them are still doing it today. And those who aren't, it wasn't that it didn't work. It's just that for the period that they did it, it sufficed. And then they were ready to go back full-time in the role. So when it comes to diversity, workforce, leadership, what do you think it will take to get to a point of true representation across senior levels?
Most banking organizations, especially in the UK, have signed the Women in Finance Charter, which actually is a very good starting point to bring together a large organization in banking, but also in financial services, to break that glass ceiling by virtue of signing a specific agenda with regard to making sure organizations are taking into account women in leadership. So that's a starting point. That said, Royal Bank of Canada, for example, have done on top of that many strategies to try to bridge that gap, because we know that we in the financial industry have a problem, I guess, to develop women to a certain level. And that's why sometimes there are gender pay gap issues that are appearing. It's not about equality of pay. It's about whether we have enough women at senior leadership role to also give an access for other women to mentoring, to sponsorship, to role model as well. And I think that's what we're lacking here. So it's really building that succession planning from the very early stage of the career up to giving ways and making sometimes positive discrimination, to be fair, to reach that kind of objective. So I think two things. We know that the financial industries as a whole has a problem because it really starts at the beginning of the career and making sure that women are seen as equal as men and have equal opportunities. But we also need to engineer things internally to be able to see that gap and those conversations going. So it's not about simply adding numbers to headcount. It's not only about looking at programs and how they deliver metrics. I think it's really about having those conversations in every single meetings that we're having at every corner or, you know, coffee catch up, because it's very easy to just believe that we have reached a certain level and we're happy with that and just drop the conversation. And we really need to embed, I think, those conversations going forward. It's the only way forward. I think there is a realization everywhere in the world that we have to be more forefront to include the other half of the population to the table, because they are also, and that's a very valid point, increasingly adding skill set, value, and wealth on the table. And I think, you know, it starts with a different kind of mindset that we had, say, 50, 20, 10 years ago. So it's getting there. I see really good progress and I'm really excited about it. But I think it's not about stopping the conversation now. We have to push it even more forward.
So you've been sharing your role, in essence, as part of the organization that you're a part of for the young professionals with the Swiss UK Chamber of Commerce. And having had this level of exposure, how would you say you could take this information, this firsthand experience, and apply it to the corporate sector at Bank of Canada?
So it's interesting because I think although Royal Bank of Canada is really at the forefront of flexible working in a very open way, and I can be wrong, but I don't think role sharing or job sharing has been yet on the table. I'm sure it will be. I think it's a question of making sure people are comfortable to start the conversation. I think for me, it's looking at how more agile we can be. So we started the conversation saying we need to be more open about new ways of working and start to definitely lead the way into testing and trial methodology around that. And I think for larger organizations, when things move obviously slower than a small organization, sometimes it's about creating group, nuclear group or focus group that would test and try the methods and iterate and go back to the table, but continue the conversation. So I think there are probably I would say it's less about the operation or the methodology that needs to be more engaging. I think it's more about changing the mindset. So changing the mindset of people manager who have or used to have one person of contact to have two, maybe three, you know, we can extend the concept, is something that is really prevalent to make sure that the strategy will be embedded and will be approved internally. But I think once we pass that and we can come from successful example and see that there are opportunities that doesn't exist in other flexible working options, that's really where the benefits lies. And I think we were talking about the longevity of a career. I totally agree with you that maybe the way social benefits for retirement in, I guess, early century is completely outdated. I can see already that most of the people I'm talking to, they expect to work longer. They don't certainly wait for government to make plans for them financially to live a longer life. So they have to make plans that really diverge from, I would say, the typical standard, which means we are going to potentially work more. We are going to have more resources physically as well to be able to do that, as well as having the health to be able to continue longer. How can we sustain that? And I think it's a very valid point, because if we keep going into a direction where we exhaust ourselves after a certain peak, we won't have the energy, the ability, or the physical capability to be able to work longer. So role sharing in that sense is a typical example where you can potentially live a longer, fulfilled work life by not sacrificing your ability to do other things that interest you in life and follow your passion.
It's a really good point. So a couple of things that you brought up made me think, you know, when you think about people managers and some of their reservations, I understand people sort of have a tendency of going to the models that, as you said earlier, are easy. They know them. So I would call that legacy thinking, right? But then you have to look at trends and you have to see what people actually want. And there was a study by Deloitte Global Human Capital Trends in 2018, where they looked at well-being, what employees value versus what employers offer. And the most important benefit as far as well-being goes from employees is the need for flexibility. So flexible schedules. I think it was about 86%, but yet companies, only 50% of them are offering that. So it's looking at what employees actually want and coming up with programs that work for both. So I understand that part-time isn't always ideal for a company, right? So if it's a role that actually needs to be a full-time role, but you have someone doing it on a part-time basis, one, that's really difficult on the person who's doing it part-time, because you're never going to compare it to your full-time self. And two, it can be difficult for the company as well, because you're still responsible. The manager is still responsible for 100% of the goal for that role, but then they might have somebody working 60, 70, 80%. So there's pressure. One of the benefits of sharing roles, if you look at it, it's a forward-thinking model that actually has been around quite a long time, but really needed the support of technology to enable and to be enabled. And when you have two people sharing a role, one, you have two sets of skills together that are either complementary or duplicate, depending on what the role requires. There will be some crossover. Then you also get full-time coverage, right? So you have a continuous loop of coverage. When one person is away, you could assume the other person is there to keep the role moving forward. Imagine, you know, people going on leave, on sabbaticals, things of that nature. You have that coverage in the role. So those are some of the things. It's looking at what is the legacy thinking that needs to be, in essence, truncated, giving people what they actually want versus what's being given to them today, and then giving it a go, you know, just piloting things. It doesn't have to be something that's set in stone. I mean, pilots are very common in large enterprises, right? So give a new model a try. If it works, phenomenal. If it doesn't, then great. At least you gave it a go. But it's also about promoting them properly. If you're going to give something a go inside of a company, it's due diligence and the best chance to succeed, right? So if people are not aware that they can actually share roles in a company as part of a pilot, then it's not going to be successful. It's like anything around change management inside of a company. It needs to come with the small internal marketing campaign so that you can actually give it the best chance and the most representative results, in essence.
Probably the world of work has teach us very early on to be a bit binary in looking at our resources, in the sense that it's either a question of whether you are an employee or not. But I think you can be an employee in different ways and an individual pursuing different set of goals in the society as well. So again, I think it's the awareness and mindset that really needs to be pushed forward, and it needs that kind of education to get there. But it really comes to a point where we see tremendously people having different trajectory in their career, and we want to push that. So we want to have, and also we, I think it's the world of work has teach us that millennials and Generation Z are expecting different objectives in their career and not necessarily staying in one line of business. So we need to probably engineer that in organization a lot more, where we have a lot of movement throughout different line of business, different sort of roles, and role share could be an option. I could typically foresee that, you know, when there is a part-time need in one role and a part-time need in another, that doesn't mean it's something that cannot be engineered. It might be something that needs support from a different team to be able to be successful. But I don't think we should start with a negative outlook without having tried. So the test and try method is super important. And I think as long as organizations are open to think differently about their workforce, I think there are great outcomes that can happen from those discussions. And basically, I think it's going to be pushed by the employees themselves. So we are much more in an employee-led market than we were, say, 10 years ago. This is something to take into account. So we can talk about, you know, digitalization, bringing robotization and automation. Yes, it will impact jobs, but the essence of the relationship that we need to have with our clients will remain very much led by human interaction. And that's something that will be embedded by having employee being engaged and engaged by different ways and meaning of being connected with the organization. And working flexibly is one big piece of that.
Right. It's looking at, as you said, the human connection in a world where we're looking at automation and we know roles are going to be replaced or parts of roles will be replaced by technology. This is a way for people to augment people and putting strengths and skills and experiences together. I know you guys are not offering shared roles today at Bank of Canada, but I think it's exciting and I see potential opportunities in the future to trial. But
absolutely.
Let me ask you, why share roles at Bank of Canada?
Because it's just the right thing to do. It's thinking about how to be more engaged with our employee, being more connected and thinking about loyalty. And I think whatever makes common sense is always something that needs to be taken into account.
Why not share roles at Bank of Canada?
Mindset and education. That needs to still happen and be at the top of the conversation. I am quite confident those conversations will happen. It's just a question of probably messaging from the top and being able to embed that in the strategy. But we've been there. We have done a lot of work around flexible working. I think it's probably the next step.
So say you're willing to trial shared roles. What would you want from potential candidates in order to make it happen?
I think that's where we started the discussion. One of the very important piece of a successful role sharing is matching. And I think that's probably why some of the opportunities that have been put out there have failed. The matching is so key to a role sharing exercise to work that it really requires great competencies as being able to bring together those kind of match. And I think probably where role sharing is very at the forefront of those reflections is how to think about that broadly and being able to really caliber candidates for a particular role. So I guess it's also probably something that organizations don't have necessarily the capabilities and the skill set yet to be better at job matching. But if you think about recruitment, it's just a step ahead. And I don't see, you know, restriction or risk or issues to do that going forward. I'm sure this is a natural step that will be established and embedded into our recruitment process.
What types of skills do you think people need to be aligned on?
So I think you have to start with probably people who are extremely thinking collaboratively, being very open in the outset, being ready to change. I think change management is going to be probably embedded into any role share anyway. Flexible, obviously, but also very committed. committed and motivated. I think that requires to anyone considering to job share a commitment to really be able to think differently. Because I think the world of work has brought a lot of individual competition against each other. Role sharing is about collaboratively of a few people for one single role. So I think it's really a mindset that has not probably been embedded in an organization for a long time.
And once you have two people potentially matched, or a person who has potentially a couple of good matches for a role within Bank of Canada, what would you need from them beyond that point? Do you have expectations, right? This would be something new from Bank of Canada. So great, they present the matches to you. What else would you like to see from them as you consider the approval of a shared role?
I think support on onboarding, as well as both educating people that are matched as well as managers, because it's a partnership. And so a partnership always works better when there is a very clear sense of goals and expectation for both parties. And so coming with a sense of guidance as well as how success looks like is probably very important to start the conversation and the relationship together.
So you would want them to lay out, in essence, a plan with goals and their mutual vision, in essence.
Absolutely. I think it's important. That said, this plan can actually evolve over time, and that's probably expected it will evolve. But I think starting with a clear message and what's the expectation from the firm and the manager as well, to be able to really start fresh and with a clear mindset is very important, just because it's a new environment and clarification are sometimes a good set of guidance that we can give to anyone to start actively and positively into a new position.
Who are the key stakeholders, in your opinion, to enable these types of future working arrangements inside of an organization?
You know, I guess it's the leadership, but not only. I think it's people manager, and people manager are really the key focus into anything that we need to drill down in terms of embedding new culture of work. If top leadership wants to embed a strategy, but it's not embedded by people manager, nothing is going to work the same way the organization wants. So I think it's really a partnership between the strategy, the leadership, and people that have day-to-day interaction with their teams.
Right. So people managers, the leadership, any specific arm of leadership? Are we thinking CHROs, CFOs, CIOs?
Business heads, mm-hmm. Because they are the ones who see, obviously, the result of the performance towards their clients. And I think they are the ones that need to be engaging with this new type of work.
And that was Vanessa Gilardi, head of HR at Royal Bank of Canada in Europe. So while CHROs and people who want to share roles are the ones bringing the topic of shared roles into organizations, it's the business heads and the line managers that seem to have the final say. So how do we encourage more line managers to go for it? I'd say 1, hire empathetic leaders. 2, show them the benefits of new working arrangements. And 3, show them how easy it'll be. I'm Sophie Smallwood, co-founder of RoleShare.com. Thanks for listening, and join us for the next episode of Talk with RoleShare.